Yeah, we're breaking it down from the court to the field. Behind every stat, there's a truth revealed. From the draft day dreams to the final shot. From the locker room talks to the battles fought. Clutch moments caught under stadium lights. Every win, every loss, every high, every fight. Beyond the numbers, where the heart beats loud.
Beyond the numbers,
where the hustle gets crowned.
Beyond the numbers,
this story we chase. Welcome to the podcast, this is your space.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. As always, I am Ben, and this is Will.
Here.
And we are going to have probably a rather quick episode tonight, guys. Sometimes the content, whilst it's there, it's not always as much. So we're going to kind of catch you up on Thursday night football, talk a little bit about some basketball, talk about some key stories real quick. And then I think we're going to call it a night, guys. We got some really big and exciting things getting ready to start happening here very, very soon. So just stay tuned. Continue to listen to the episodes. Continue to follow the page. It is growing. I am very excited to see our numbers, how quickly they've jumped. I look forward to seeing more and more. I know we've talked a lot about Aspire. And, of course, like always, we get paid for it when you guys buy, and we really appreciate any sort of purchases on that. But more importantly, it's legitimate. It's good. It makes me feel great. I drink them every day. I still can't sit here and say that I'm a huge fan of the fruit punch, but I love the strawberry watermelon and the mixed berry. There's not a ton of flavor, so don't expect a bunch of diversity there, but I will tell you that it does taste good, and it packs a punch for 80 milligrams of caffeine. So I myself can speak confidently when I say that I recommend. That's all I've got on Aspire, but it's worth looking into. As always, use the code BEYOND, and you get 20% off. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to kick into some football real quick.
Let's get it, sir. I was right.
You were right.
Exactly right. I never said they were going to win, but I knew that those Broncos were they had a 10-point spread to cover. And they were never even going to – they scored 10 points.
It was a defensive show out for both sides. The Broncos had, if I remember correctly, 5 sacks at the end of the first half. They were tearing the Raiders up defensively. However, Bo Nix did not look like a remotely competent quarterback, if we're being honest here. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 150 yards. I mean, J.K. Dobbins had himself a rough game. I mean, 18 for 77 ain't bad. But when I say he had a rough game, he actually got roughed up. I believe he hurt his ankle, if I recall correctly, in that game. It's not a good thing for the Broncos moving forward. I mean,
I want to put it out there that if the Raiders get their offense together, they are going to be scary for any team out there. Do you understand what I saw in that game? Were just a bunch of offensive mistakes. They weren't bad plays. There was no bad play calling. There was no bad plays. It was literally just the players weren't, like, when it was supposed to happen, they weren't making it happen. If they can actually fix their mistakes, they're going to be scary, sir.
Let's be clear. Geno Smith is a big part of the problem. He's not a good quarterback. You can try to say otherwise. He had a little moment in Seattle.
Geno, though he made a few of those offensive mistakes that I was talking about, he made way less of them than the rest of the team. Way less.
Well, let's be clear. 6 sacks, 1 interception, no touchdowns compared to Bo Nix. You know what? I'll take a touchdown if I'm throwing 2 interceptions and we're still winning the game. I'd rather get a touchdown more than none. I mean, if it wasn't for Ginty, they wouldn't have had a touchdown at all.
Wait. That is completely false. They hit their red zone way more times than Bo Nix did.
Sir, one touchdown.
They came closer to getting more touchdowns than Bo Nix did. Neither did Bo Nix. That Troy Franklin touchdown was pure luck. Anybody that saw that game would have saw. That not matter?
Yeah, they won.
They won by a field goal. A field goal that he had that was very far fetched for him to make. That's all I'm saying. Like that.
They still won.
I get it. They won, and I give them that win. But let's be clear, they would have lost if there would have been more more offensive competence.
Well, let's be clear. And there wasn't. And if the Raiders would have actually produced offensively with Geno Smith leading the way, then yes. But one interception? Come on. Here's my other thing. That offensive line for the Raiders is terrible. And Bo Nix only got sacked once. Now, Sutton, I don't know why they decided to go that route. Technically, there was two sacks against the Broncos. One was against Nix and the other against Sutton. But I don't believe that what you're saying is – what I'm saying is that Geno Smith's failures compared to Bo Nix's in the end was the difference maker.
The Broncos won this game by luck. Plain and simple. You can't convince me otherwise. Geno Smith and the Raiders performed 10 times better than they did. They just so happened to get that game-winning field goal. That's it. And it wasn't even a game-winning field goal. I think they got it in the third quarter and didn't do anything else in the fourth.
Let's be clear, the Raiders.
Nobody had done anything all game. They just so happened to pull that field goal out of nowhere. I get it. They won. I'll give them their credit for winning
the
game.
It was a terrible game. But for the Broncos
to not have beat the Raiders in the way that they were supposed to, bro, that's crazy.
Okay, hold on.
About to sit here. What did they just do last week?
Hold on. Hold your boat here, sir. Here's something that I've been saying, and they don't win games by, like, these crazy margins typically. They're not taking the lead and just running away with games. Most of their games, they've been winning by coming back. Sir, this is not a team that's built for just getting a dominant lead and running away with it. They don't do that.
They didn't have a good game. And if you're trying to sit here and tell me
what they always do, they get just enough to win.
No, bro.
They get enough to win. You cannot take the facts.
To support that is trash. That is also trash.
I'm not supporting it, but I'm simply saying that for a Thursday night football game, this was like when Russell Wilson was there. But instead of them losing, they won because they went up against a garbage team and they played like trash. And at the end of the day, they still won because all you have to do in the NFL is put up more points than your opponent and you'll win. I didn't say it was a good win. It was a terrible game. Statistically, this was like watching two just like...
The Broncos couldn't move the ball at all. They couldn't move the ball.
They couldn't. They were terrible.
They had no movement. They had no first downs before the until like 4 minutes into the second quarter.
Not arguing with you on that. I'm not saying they did good. I'm just simply saying Geno Smith did not do enough as the quarterback. He was on the ground.
Stop blaming Geno Smith for everybody else's problem.
And the receiving core that is a hot mess over there. The only positive that the Raiders have is Ashton Jeanty.
Whoa. That's crazy. Brock Bowers is definitely going to be a menace, and I don't care what nobody says. Yes, he can. Geno Smith was not the problem. Yes, he had Geno a couple Smith of overthrown passes.
Was not the problem.
Cool, I understand that. He was not the end-all, be-all to that loss. You can't convince me. Bro, how? There's no way.
Zero touchdowns, one interception. When you look at it, honestly, here's the thing. They could not capitalize on turnovers. They had two interceptions off of Bo Nix, and they still lost. Come on. Geno Smith looked rough. I watched the game.
They won by a lucky field goal. We're talking like they actually won in a good fashion. They won in a horrible fashion. Let's be clear. I did take that Raiders 9-5 all day. Why? Because the Broncos suck. And every chance of the imagination. I'm so sick of the hype around the Broncos, and I done had a little bit of hand in that, but I'm done with it. The Raiders would have I'm telling you, with a couple of tweaks to their offense, the Raiders would be menaces. I promise you.
No.
Yes,
not
they
with
will.
Geno at the helm.
Yes, they will. I got faith in Geno. Geno didn't make that. Geno didn't make a whole lot of mistakes last game.
Sir, he didn't have to. He threw one interception, no touchdowns. He got sacked six times. He didn't have to. He was on the ground.
Jesus Christ. Why are you blaming? And Jensen didn't even have too much to do with it. Jensen got into the end zone. 60
yards, he got the only touchdown. Of course he had something to do with the game. He was the only reason they scored.
You're looking. Did you watch the game?
Yes.
That game was a whole tell-all about how if that's – oh, my gosh. There was receivers dropping passes. Jensen dropped some passes.
Again. Jensen's the reason he scored.
Made more drops.
He had the touchdown. The only one.
Oh, my gosh. He was in the red zone. Who are they going to give it to?
Exactly. My point, he's the reason they scored any points. Tell me.
That was a game full of bull penalties.
I hate having to hear these arguments from you because they're trash.
You're actually downplaying the better team in the situation just because of 3 points. 3 points that they got by luck.
I'm not downplaying the better team. They both were terrible, but the Raiders suck.
Oh my gosh. You just don't want to accept I'm right.
A 10-7 game means that there was a defensive game. However, the Raiders defense got really lucky because Bo Nix is terrible. And let's be clear. The only reason that they got anything was, like you said, a lucky play to old Franklin. However, the only points that were put up on the board, excluding the extra point by the kicker for the Raiders, was Ashton Jeanty. Again, both teams were terrible. Both quarterbacks sucked. Both receiving corps sucked. The only person that did anything, because, of course, J.K. Dobbins got a little roughed up, was Ashton Jeanty. The only highlight of either team was Ashton Jeanty and the Broncos entirely ridiculous.
I definitely feel like you're overhyping Ashton Jeanty's part in all of this.
Are you talking positive for the Raiders or no? Because I'm talking positive about Jeanty and you're bashing him.
I'm not bashing Jeanty. I haven't bashed Jeanty at all.
Then what are you on? Because I'm positive.
You're talking positive about Jeanty, not the Raiders.
As he should be.
Oh, my gosh. Jeanty is not everything on the Raiders' core right now. He's really not. They have some real key players in there.
I'm not talking about every game. I'm literally talking about the one game that we're here to discuss. He was the key, only positive note.
He was not.
Who else did a single thing that contributed to anything?
Oh my gosh, Jeanty had a nice game. I'll say that. Brock
Lockett,
Bowers would have had 44. They had a problem.
Brock Bowers, 1 of 3 for 31 yards. Wow, crazy. Tucker, 2 of 3 for 28. Meyer, 3 of 4 for 22. Mostert,
sir,
yeah, you know he caught.
I got the stats too. None of that matters.
That's what you do not understand. None of that matters when you're actually watching the game and you see everything.
It gives you a whole nother perspective. That's why my parlays hit.
But they're not.
Oh my gosh.
Did you hit on this game?
Yes.
Did you make money?
Not yet. It's a cooking parlay. There's some other parts to it.
It's a cooking parlay.
But yes,
sir,
that was a check. That's a check mark.
Convince yourself that this is what you feel is true, but it is not. The Broncos defense locked the Raiders down. Geno Smith spent more time on the ground than he did standing. He threw a lot of terrible passes. He looked like he was under pressure, which
he
was.
He did not throw a lot of terrible passes.
Yes,
he had a lot of people having terrible hands. He did not. That is my entire point to this. He did not have a lot of terrible. He had a couple. There was a couple of questionables. But after you've been on the ground 5 different times, what do you expect?
What's the excuse for him?
I'm not making an excuse. I'm saying that you're making it seem like he had like the worst game ever, and that's not what I saw.
I mean, if we're being entirely honest, sir, he did nothing good.
All right.
What did he do? He was, again, do I need to repeat his numbers? He was 16 of 26, 143 yards. That ain't the worst in the world, but that's pretty bad. Zero touchdowns, one interception. He couldn't even get one touchdown. Six sacks.
Right.
He spent,
if you're watching the game,
quarter,
you see exactly why that's the case. That's exactly why you'd be wrong a lot. Because you only look at those stats.
In the fourth quarter on the bike,
I get
trying
it.
To work
you watch
out
the game and you watch the stats. I watch the game and I watch how it's actually going. That is not what is going on.
What do you think was going on that wasn't crystal clear when Geno was on the sideline nursing an injury in the fourth quarter?
Broncos win was horrible.
But
it was
they
so
won.
Undeserved.
That's all that we're talking
it was
about.
So
we're arguing over irrelevant information. The Broncos won. That's all that matters. It's a divisional win that is crucial.
That is so trash.
Are you just throwing the word trash out there to just like throw something back? Because
no,
I'm not. What are you trying to express that's different than what I'm expressing? This was a terrible game. But at the end of the day, the Raiders were more terrible.
Because you have a whole nother opinion on why it was trash.
The numbers
and it's not a game.
Sir, the numbers cannot be just simply irrelevant. We can't go in circles and say how the numbers don't reflect.
I didn't say that they are irrelevant. I didn't say that they are irrelevant. I said that they needed to be showcased in a different light.
How? They're literally the numbers from the game. This isn't a matter of me showcasing. This is literally what they are.
Right.
This is what happened. If you watch the game, these stats are exactly what happened on the field, sir. We're not talking about a game that was so ridiculously crazy that they were having all sorts of wild calls out here and like, oh, maybe this was a fourth down. Maybe it wasn't. Both teams sucked.
They These had a numbers lot of are, wild penalties in that game.
Everybody has.
What are you talking about? You're telling me that the refs weren't wilding with all those calls?
Sure, because the refs were bored. It's Thursday night. The Broncos and the Raiders. The Broncos win games because they come in close. They get it the hard way. That's how they win their games. And
that's
exactly
the
what they did.
Hard way? Oh, my gosh.
It is the hard way. They could have blew them out.
Oh, God.
I don't think they got a chance to. I don't think that would have ever happened.
Okay. I disagree with you because I've seen what the Raiders do not put up the numbers that the Broncos do. They just don't. The Raiders are not the high-scoring team that the Broncos somehow happen to be. They're not a team that's putting up 33 points in the fourth quarter like the Broncos did. I don't care. It ain't happening.
I get it. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Raiders, though. I think
Go ahead.
Should.
They're not going to the playoffs. They're out.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
What are you watching them for? If they win every game from here on out, they're irrelevant still. They literally mean nothing.
I'm going to watch them. I'm going to be watching them.
Go ahead. I like watching terrible teams from time to time, but I watch Cleveland when I do that.
I'm going
to
be looking for the Raiders.
Sir, at the end of the year.
They showed me some nice potential in that game. I don't care what you say.
Ashton Jeanty, he did. That's it. Bowers, he's great. We already know he's great. But he is being held back by a terrible quarterback. Geno is a bridge quarterback who is going to hold them until they get themselves a new rookie who comes in and is going to get something done. And I imagine the draft is about to bring somebody to the Las Vegas Raiders, sir.
I'm going to keep the Raiders in my sights, like I said. Go ahead. I get it. You are right. I have to listen to my stats guy, but let's be clear. I think you're wrong.
Give me somebody but Geno and I'll change my tune. Anybody. Geno.
I don't think Geno is that bad, man. I was trying to let you have it. I was. I don't think Geno is
Why are
that
you riding Geno? Why are you riding with Gino? Why is he in your front seat with you, sir? What's so good about it?
He doesn't have to be in the front seat. He's in the trunk riding, but he got a pillow and whatnot though. He's not in the back seat, but he got a pillow and whatnot. He can get up into the front seat.
He's throwing dimes out the tail light, ain't he? Yeah, because that's all he's getting is a little nice little lucky plays.
Oh my god, the plays that I saw were good. I'm gonna keep on. I get it. They may not stick with Gino, but if they do, I think it'll be a nice little combo. If they could just
I'm all for it. That's one less team to worry about for the next decade. Go ahead.
I'm not trying to say that the Raiders are gonna be the best of the best, but at one point they were. We were talking about the Raiders like they were something. It may have been like the 2000s, but.
All right, sir. I want to hit up a couple of midseason MVP potentials real fast, see what your thoughts and feelings are. I don't want to get into it too deeply. I'm not going to break down the numbers. I'm just going to throw out what NFL.com has put out as some of the top 10 NFL MVP candidates in midseason. So I'm going to just rattle through them real quick. You tell me you think that's possible or not, you know, up or down, essentially. They got ranked at number one as a potential Drake May. What's your thought? Yes, no, maybe.
I can agree with that.
You think Drake May is? I think Drake May has a good chance.
Drake May has done incredible work this year, and for absolutely the Patriots to have been what they were last year, coming into this year, yeah, Drake May definitely, and he's definitely a key to that. So, yeah, solid shot.
Okay, so number one was Drake May. He's got some good numbers behind him. I mean, if anybody wants to really look, he's got a 74.1% completion percentage and a 160.9 passer rating. So he's done some good work with the Patriots, pushing them to the top of the AFC East, which is, I thought the Bills were going to own it this year, but hey, so on. It is what it is. Jonathan Taylor is ranked number two. Obviously, I think that honestly, I kind of figured he'd be number one because he's had himself an incredible year. No running back has won this award since Adrian Peterson returned from a torn ACL MCL. So no running back has done this since 2012.
If I'm going to be honest, I don't think that there's going to be one to do it this year either.
You don't think Jonathan Taylor is going to do it?
Once you get into this list, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some more people that have done more. Like, I get it. He's been incredible. I'm not trying to knock him or anything like that. He's done immaculate work. But, Drake May is more deserved. See what I'm saying? Like, so I don't think he'll beat out Drake May if it comes down to just him and him.
So, are you what's your opinion if it comes down to a quarterback and a running back? I think we are still in a quarterback dominant league. I think it's almost always going to go to the quarterback over a running back, just because, honestly,
who changed the style of football? Like, who changed the dynamic of the team? Who can you put that trajectory on? And when it comes down to it, Jonathan Taylor, while he is a key piece to why the Colts have been doing what they've been doing, he's not the only piece. Everybody on the Colts has been snapping.
Everybody has. Everybody's been going crazy. And
when it comes down to the Patriots, while there has been a lot of people on the Patriots to contribute to their success, Drake May is the key to that, in my eyes. I don't know about anybody else's opinion, but in my eyes, I would give it to Drake May's, put it at Drake May's feet. You can't just put it at...
I see a little bit of Brady in Drake May.
Right.
Just a little.
He might just surprise everybody. Let's see.
He might. Number three, and it's really frustrating and annoying because I can't stand him right now, is Jalen Hurts. Frankly, I want to say no.
No, and I'm gonna scream that to the rooftops. If Jalen Hurts wins MVP, I'm going to lose it. All right.
The only problem I have with Jalen Hurts right now is he's got 20 combined touchdowns with only just two turnovers. He has been a very safe and reliable quarterback. And admittedly, they've got themselves many wins, and they are certainly bound for the playoffs unless they have a major fall off. I'm not going to sit here and say I want to see it happen, but I do think that he could make a bid for it. But I want to say no, because frankly, if there is no fall off, I would rather Drake May get it than stinking Jalen Hurts. So I'm with you. Number four is the man who leads all passers in yards per game, touchdowns, and first downs. And that is Matthew Stafford. Now, I'm just going to say that, honestly, yes, Matthew Stafford has came this year with a vengeance. He has taken the Rams. Granted, they've given him some weapons, but he has taken the Rams from what I think was a projected a rough, honestly, probably going to be a rough year. Not saying that they wouldn't have had some, you know, good wins, but for what they've done, what he's done, I can't deny, I think he's actually done really, really well, and I think he could be worth the MVP conversation.
Stafford is a great quarterback. I don't per se. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna say yeah. He's got an argument. He's done pretty well this year himself. Passing touchdowns, passing yardage has been insane throughout multiple games. So yeah. Let's go ahead and keep Stafford on his high horse because he's supposed to be there.
Okay. So I want to hit the number five guy real fast. And this guy is important because I want to point this out. There's only been two defensive players that have ever won the MVP award. That was defensive tackle Alan Page back in 1971. And then obviously Lawrence Taylor, a true freak of nature back in the 80s, back in 1986. However, as of right now, he is in the mix. Actually, for three different awards, but that is Aiden Hutchinson. Obviously, MVP, as we're talking about, he's obviously in the Defensive Player of the Year and Comeback Player of the Year conversations. So, Aiden Hutchinson has been incredibly thorough. He has 7 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and a league-high 46 QB pressures just coming into Week 10. He's one of those guys that makes his presence felt on the field, whether he's sacking a quarterback or he's just getting in there disrupting the quarterbacks. Aiden Hutchinson is definitely a freak of nature when it comes to just brutalizing offensive linemen. You ain't shit blocking him. You need a tight end and a running back if you're going to put somebody besides an offensive lineman on him. So I like seeing the big fella on there. I think at number five, it's a good spot. I don't think he's going to go all the way to get that. Now, obviously, Defensive Player of the Year, I don't see anyone completely taking that out of the equation for him. So I would definitely say he's good for that, but MVP.
He's probably not going to grab the MVP all the way. He deserves to be there, be in the conversation. But he, close but no cigar, game changer, he is not. And once again, understood. We're talking about most valuable player here. Who is it? It's not gonna be Hutchinson.
I agree. I mean, if you talk about defensive players who've won it, Lawrence Taylor, he was literally a game changer. He was a true freak of nature. I mean, if we're being clear, I would take Myles Garrett, honestly, I think, over Aiden Hutchinson, just because Myles Garrett has had such a career of true brutal dominance. But you think about your guys like J.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Ray Lewis. You've got so many defensive players that have made impacts year after year and for different teams. I mean, Micah Parsons last year had an insane year. But these guys don't win MVPs. Lawrence Taylor played in an era where what he did won them games. He won seasons. So I will say, as much as I like seeing it up there, and I would love to see more defensive players on the MVP, top 10, because it's still something that they have. It gives them more credibility. I don't think he'll ever make it into the top 3. I think 5 is about as high as he's going to go, and I think inevitably he's going to fall off. Because at number 6 is a man that I didn't think I'd see on here this year, just because I thought injuries would have tore him up. Christian McCaffrey. And I'm not even going to go into him. The most impressive thing about his good year that he's having is the fact that he's healthy still, and he hasn't missed any games.
You know why he's healthy? Because everything's quiet around him. Every year that they start hyping that man up, he gets hurt.
The injury talks coming into the season is why everybody was quiet. I mean, he leads the league in touches and scrimmage yards. I mean,
once again,
he's having himself a baller year.
If we leave the 49ers alone, they gonna slowly but surely start messing people up.
I mean, they already are.
That's the problem. Every time you start looking at the 49ers, it's like that kid that don't want you to know that they can do something. Like that baby that don't want you to know that he can walk yet. Every time he stands up, he's gonna drop down as soon as you start watching. That's exactly how they do.
Okay. You know, I'm with you. All right, number seven. And I'm actually kind of surprised. Not that he's on here, but that he's as low as he is. And that's Sam Darnold. I don't know about you, but Seattle needed somebody to come in and just take charge and lead. And that man leads with a poise that I haven't seen a Seattle quarterback do since. I mean, we were just talking about Geno Smith earlier. This Geno didn't have the best time. He did okay. Sam Darnold coming in looking better than Russell did, in my opinion, back in his early days even. But Russell had a much better team. Sam Darnold has came in. Yes, he has JSN, you know, which is an elite receiver. But, you know, he's got, obviously, we can't forget Charbonnet and why am I blanking on his name? But he has two really good running backs. He has a good offense. His defense does their job. They win games. They're another kind of a quiet team, too, like the Niners in that regard. They come in, they win their games, they don't make a big deal about it, they go on to the next. So I think he should be higher.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not going to say he should be higher, but
I'd put him over Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, but that's just because, once again, we're talking about game changers here. Aiden Hutchinson shouldn't actually be as high as he is anyway. Like, when we're talking about who changed the aspect of the team, he shouldn't be as high as he was. Now, Sam Darnold, on the other hand, yes, he changed the aspect of the team, but will the Seahawks be able to, like, prevail throughout this? Like, you know, I know they're doing good now, but I just feel like there's a and but coming on, I guess.
Okay.
So, well, we'll see, but I'm not going to knock him down just yet because, once again, he's been doing amazing. So
I think we need to see something from him. He had a good year in Minnesota last year. I think we need to see something a little bit more from him. But I would say a maybe in the MVP standings out of all these. He's a maybe. Not a no. Not a yes. I feel confident with a maybe. Number eight, another defensive guy. And I don't want to say that we never see defensive players on here because we do. And here's another one. And that is Micah Parsons. Now.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say. Now, as much as I'm a Packers fan, and I love seeing him out there, and he does, you know, he does team up and pair well with Rashawn Gary, and they are very dangerous. But Micah Parsons, I would still say that if I was going to look at a game changer, Aiden Hutchinson is more of a game changer than Micah Parsons. My honest opinion, he is a no. And yes, he is really good at pressuring quarterbacks. He disrupts plays. He gets hits on the running backs. He does his job. But at the end of the day, Micah Parsons is not the same as he was in Dallas. He does his job guy. So, number eight, I would have probably put him down at 9 or 10, to be entirely honest, if I was going to put him on there. But my answer is, in fact, no.
I'll just leave it at no.
Okay. Number nine, somebody who has fell off the popularity a little bit. It's a quarterback. We've not talked about him in a little while. Who do you think it might be at number nine, sir?
Quarterback we haven't talked about in a while.
And it's a fall off.
Maybe Lamar?
No. Lamar don't even need to be on this list whatsoever. He's been hurt. He missed several games. There's no way for him to be on it right now.
Yeah, we've talked about Lamar, though.
We have.
I can't.
Think back. Dominant run for the first several weeks. Actually, the first quarter of the year, really.
Too many Baker episodes, Mayfield. Sir. Oh.
Baker Mayfield.
How did we haven't talked about Baker Mayfield in a while.
I know. He's tied for the league when it comes to game-winning drives. He's tied with Bo Nix. He is leading a team that is injury-ridden. They are struggling to get their wins, but they're still getting them. He is an underdog in every sense of the term for me. So Baker Mayfield at number 9, I honestly would say that he could be a little higher for what he's done with what he's had to work with. Okay. However, I don't know about you. I unfortunately think Baker Mayfield is a no for me.
Yeah, I'm a have to go with no. And you know how I feel about Baker Mayfield. I told you he's
of course
really quietly elite, and he should be talked about with the great quarterbacks that we have right now. But once again, if we're talking about a game changer, he hasn't been able to spin his team's problems on. It's not all on his shoulders, and he's just handling it with stride. So, no, I'm not gonna go with Baker to be MVP at all.
I'm with you on that. All right, wrap it up real fast. Don't think we need to spend a lot of time on him because we've already kind of covered this. Number 10, currently NFL.com's top 10 potential MVP candidates. The midseason, number 10 is Daniel Jones. The answer is no. Daniel Jones, to me, is not the guy that's giving them the wins. Yes, he's balled out. But as last week proved against the Steelers, he is highly susceptible when the rest of the team isn't clicking. He makes mistakes. He had 5 turnovers, personally. That right there is, for me, what drives the reason that he is not going to be an MVP. Jonathan Taylor, by far, is the game changer because, honestly, Daniel Jones is profiting from Jonathan Taylor. He's profiting from Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, and Tyler Warren. He has an offensive core around him that is taking him to where he's been. And when something ain't right, you have what happened with the Steelers. So, Danny Dimes is still better in Indianapolis than he was in New York by 1,000,000 to 1, but by no means do I think he's the MVP.
If I wasn't going to give it to Jonathan Taylor, I'm definitely not going to give it to Daniel Jones. So,
no. If I'm be honest, no. If I was going to take it off of any of these guys for the Colts, no disrespect to Michael Pittman, but I'm taking Tyler Warren.
I was about to say that. Tyler Warren's the most deserving to me. If we're going to talk about who's had the most impact and changed. Tight ends this year have completely changed the way that the game's being played right now anyway.
Absolutely.
Tight ends have been going absolutely insane.
About time. Okay. All right. Everybody, we love football, but we're going to wrap this episode up. I don't know how much time you want to talk about basketball. I mean, I think right now we're kind of just talking to talk because it's still early in the year. Currently, I just wanted to quickly talk about last night's game. The Suns beat the Clippers. There's really not much to say. The 4-5 record of the Suns to the 3-5 records of the Clippers.
I'm going to say that
the games tonight,
they were never going to beat the Suns, not without Kawhi and Harden, and that's what they had to deal with. So, you know, that, like you said, this game, there's really nothing to speak of on this game other than, you know, you could talk about some stats because there were, you know, a couple of players that went crazy. But other than that,
it was just an average game.
Went absolute bonkers.
The only thing I'm getting enjoyment out of right now is the Thunder have finally lost a game.
That irritates me. And we said it too. We said that was a setup game, and that's exactly what it was. I felt
Portland
like
they got him.
Take that first loss. It irritates me that it was Portland, though. Not gonna lie.
Portland's
to you.
Portland's annoying. They kind of hanging in there. That 5-3 record ain't something that's just happened out of sheer luck. So they're dogs. Speaking of Portland, tomorrow they play the Miami Heat, who have a 4-4 record. They've had themselves a year. But I mean, I don't know what else there really is to say about these guys. I ain't gonna talk about my Pacers. I ain't even got nothing to say. So I'm over it.
Yeah, there's no reason for you to keep on supporting the Pacers the way that you do, sir.
We run to the table.
It makes absolutely no sense. They haven't even actually done anything spectacular this year. Siakam.
We barely got one win.
Yeah, Siakam is going absolutely crazy. But other than
that. Too bad the rest of the team isn't.
Yeah, other than that, there is nothing to say good about the Pacers. At all. But all in all, you guys, we love doing these episodes. It is going to be, like we said, this is going to be one of our shorter ones. As always, you can use that code BEYOND to grab you some Aspire. We love the drink, and we think you'll love it too. Interact with us. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you want to see all over social media. We would love to hear from you guys. And Ben, you got anything else?
Honestly, no. I think we've about covered it.
Well, all right, you all. With that being said, peace.